Away into the Present seminar. Lecture 2. I have always been seeking myself.
Now how about that?
I have compared myself to others. Now this is something that we have all done far too often, comparing ourselves to others. Comparing ourselves to how wonderful other people are, how grand other people are, how fulfilled they are. One of the references that we make is to Jesus. Another one is to the Buddha. Another one is to the Dalai Lama. We say, wouldn't it be wonderful to be the Dalai Lama? And here the Dalai Lama was kicked out of his country and chased away, and his people were killed by the dozens, by the hundreds perhaps. And you'd like to be like that, huh? Well, not like that, but the wonderful man he is. And then you look at Bhagwan, a great teacher, great philosopher, great religious man, and the people in his organization messed him up. They started having a sex organization rather than a spiritual organization, and it ended up killing him. Because he allowed people to do whatever they wanted to do, he taught them the principles, much like we are teaching, and then the people went out and exercised the lack of judgment. And that happens. That happens. And we can compare ourselves to other people. Well, how many of you would like to compare yourself to Bill Gates? Be the richest person in the world. Wouldn't that be kind of fun? Or would it? He has a lot of responsibilities. His responsibility is the attitude of everybody in the world jealous of him. Would you like that? How many people in the world think Bill Gates is a great guy and a wonderful philanthropist? He gives away billions of dollars every year, lots of billions of dollars every year. You know, one of the greatest philanthropists of all time. He's got the greatest amount of money. And how would you like to be him? How would you like to have the job that his wife has of trying to find people that they consider worthy of receiving funds to go on with their programs? And how would you like to live in the condition that Bill Gates lives in with his children? They live in a locked community. Why do you think people have gated communities or locked communities? Ours is gated for a different reason. But why do you think people have locked communities? Because they're afraid of their life. They're afraid people are going to kidnap their children and ask for ransom and not give the kids back, you know. They're not really afraid of the money going out. That's more ransom than anyone could ever ask. They would give away to anything, but they don't want their children to be hurt. Now, is that how you'd like to live your life? Well, gee, Bill Gates, well, boo, I hadn't thought of it that way. That's true. That's true. Have you compared yourself to others? Oh, easily. Chrissy is always comparing herself to Sybil, saying Sybil is a super, super, super woman. And Sybil is a super, super, super woman. And Sybil compares herself to Chrissy. With Chrissy's gentleness, her humbleness, her absolute quality of resignation, if you will, to her spiritual self. Of course, Sybil does these things too, but she doesn't see it because she does it. And that, but she sees it in Chrissy. And Chrissy sees in Sybil what Chrissy is. And until we start seeing it in ourselves, and still we start realizing, hey, that's who we are. We're pretty nice. Then we're going to compare ourselves to others in a very silly, foolish way. You know? How many times have you heard people say, yeah, they can do that, but we can't, you know, kids. The older children get to do things the younger children can't do. Yeah. When we compare ourselves to others, we're using a poor yardstick, a poor measuring stick. And the reason that we're using a poor measuring stick is that we are measuring ourselves based upon the fact that we already are that which they are, but we have not taken credit for it in ourselves. Now, Katerina is reluctant to hold up her hand when I say, you're a beautiful, fantastic, glorious, marvelous person. She says, you know, but it's true. It's true. And the day that she says, thank you, you know, just thank you. What is she doing when she says thank you? Anybody?
Accepting.
No, no.
Oh, she, oh.
What? What's she doing when she says thank you?
Okay.
She's saying, thank you, sir, for seeing in me what you are. You know? And I thank you very much. Now, that's not bad. That's not a terrible thing. Thank you for seeing in me what you are. That's great. But don't say, oh, no, not me. You mean I'm blind? I can't see how wonderful you are? You know? You give a compliment and people throw it back at you and you say, look, that's what I see. That's what you are. So when you just say thank you, you could say, I'm your reflection. Or I bask in your reflection of glory and goodness and quality. But you see, what are we? How do we compare ourselves to others? Is there anybody else in your school who is like you? Or are you special? Don't look at your Grammy. Are you special?
Yes.
You bet you are. And there's nobody else in this whole world like you. You're a special person, a super person. Now, you see, he looks to his grandma and says, what should I say here? And really, he knows he's great. He knows he's wonderful. But even at his age, and even, you see, this is what happens. We only have him for a short time every year and work with him on these beautiful qualities within himself. And then he goes back to his friends and his school and his people in his world, and they say, now, behave. You know, do what you're supposed to do. Do this, do that, you know. And he stops thinking how wonderful he is. He stops thinking what a great boy he is and how he always is a boy who behaves and always is a boy who looks for doing good things for others, you know. Right? Yeah. And when he forgets that, then he has to look at the grocery. Should I say yes to this? Or, you know, am I being too, you know, too pompous by saying yes to this? And she says, Jerome, you and Sabrina are the two angels from heaven, my heart, that has come to join me and are with me now. And you're wonderful. You see? Is that true? You bet you that's true. And that's the way she thinks. Now, does she compare you with the other kids in the school or in the neighborhood? No. Why doesn't she compare you? Because you're incomparable. Because you're the greatest. And there's no comparison. And isn't that wonderful? Now, that's what your parents did when you were a little boy, too, didn't they, Gregory? Huh? They didn't compare you with any of the other kids in the school. I don't care if the rest of the kids are doing this. You're not. You're behaving. You're going to do the right thing. And you did, didn't you? You always were a very beautiful boy, right?
Yeah, I wasn't not
sure. You were there ever you were.
Two sets of parents.
You know, and Gregor is always very modest. And watch him feel he has to correct me. You know, they have not races, but they have fairs and festivals in Switzerland. And in the festivals, they have the person who can ride, that is, who can drive the greatest number of horses at one time. You know, you have maybe up 4 or 5 horses, and then you drive them, and 8 or 10. Well, he had 100 horses that he drove at one time, and with one rein. And he just gently flicked it like this, and the horses did everything. And then he said, okay, horses, stand on your hind legs. They all stood on their hind legs at one time. And everybody in the crowd just roared, and they said, this is the greatest horseman that we have ever seen in our life. And, you know, and to this day, He thinks it's astounding. He can't believe it was true. You know, he has trouble remembering how true it was. But all he has to do is ask me and know that ministers have a good imagination. You count the number of people in the congregation by the number of legs on the chairs. Yes. you never compare ourselves to anyone. And Gregor never compared himself to anyone. And you know why he didn't? Because he knew he was good. No matter what he was asked to do, he was able to do it. And no matter what he was asked to do, he instantly went and did it without any backtalk, without saying, but, or I was going to do something else. But no, never, always instantly going and doing whatever he's asked to do. Right, Sylvia?
Yes.
That's just like you, right?
Yes.
Whenever you're asked to do anything, you instantly go and do it. Oh, my goodness sakes. Gregor, how do you like your mirror over there? Pretty good, yeah. So, I have sought out role models. Now, Greg, what kind of role models have you sought out in life? Huh?
Myself.
Oh, Ellen was pointing to herself here. He got his own role model. Was that the ultimate role model?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah? And what about Chrissy? Where did she get her role model?
Being herself.
Being yourself. And Chrissy, does every one of your friends, your staff, your family respect you as the ideal woman?
Yes.
Notice? No hesitation. No hesitation. Yeah? Esther? How about your family? Do they look at you and they say, oh, that's my ma. She's a pushover.
Oh.
No. But, you see, each one of us, right? Ingrid, she has problems.
No.
She thinks grandchildren are wonderful. Yes. And she lets her grandchildren push her around. What do you do with your grandchildren?
Love them.
You love them. Well, that's letting them push you around.
Now,
how do you love them? Do you love them as beautiful beings who are always orderly and loving and gentle and kind with one another and honest and sincere with integrity at all times? Yeah, you know, so with a smile on her face, she says yes. But yes, that's how you love them. You love all the beautiful and all the good in them, and that's all they give you back. That's all. Now, Dorothea, she has some cousins living in town here, and she goes to visit them occasionally, and she says, you know, they talk about things other than positive things. And I said, well, Dorothea, what do you say to them when they talk about things other than positive things? She says, well, I just tell them they should all come up to campus. They should all come up to the monastery. But she says, I know they won't. That's why I say it so easily. But I think they should all come up here and they would have a wonderful experience. Now, would they? Why would they have a wonderful experience? They would have to bring along with them their finest and best, wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. So Dorothea would have a little homework to do there. She would have to teach them our language. Because they're already the finest and best. It's just a matter of learning our language, the way we say those things. So, you see, that's the beautiful thing about this. We're all role models. We are the role model for ourselves first and our world. And everyone who looks at us sees us as the beautiful person that we are. Ingeborg, are you a beautiful person?
Yes, I am.
Well, a little more enthusiasm, please. Are you a beautiful person?
Yes, sir.
No. Yes, I am! Yeah, that's good. But you see, I want to get Ingeborg going here, you know, because her golf cart hasn't been running for a few days, and so she is not up to her usual go self. But that'll get fixed shortly, too. Now, are you a beautiful person? Yes, you am. And why am you a beautiful person? You like yourself. Great. Now, that is a positive direction into the being. Now, are you the role model for yourself?
Yes.
What does role model mean to you?
Role model is that I follow what I I see it's the best and the highest in the end.
To be your own role model and follow what you think is the best and the highest for you. Are you doing that?
Yes, I do.
At all times?
Yes.
Under all circumstances?
Yes.
So then do it and enjoy it. You're fantastic. Katerina, are you a good role model? To whom are you a good role model? To yourself, okay. And how about all those little children who come to your classes?
Oh, they're all role models.
And that's good. You see, they're your reflection. They're beautiful role models. And what about these crazy women that come there with all sorts of problems? You only have lovely children in your world. That's all you create, right? Okay. How can you do it when some ugly circumstances come up? You shake your head no, but yes, no. Your world is fun and happiness. Everybody agree with her?
Yes.
But why does she have to be so far away? Yeah, she's right here. But New Zealand is down under there, you know. And it's winter there now. Yeah. But that's okay. You're here right now, and that's the main thing, the very mainest thing. Okay, now, what's that?
She teleports.
Oh, she teleports. Well, I think that's great. Now, I didn't tell you all this yet, but immediately after lunch, when we have the lesson, Katerina is going to teach the lesson, and the lesson is going to be how to teleport. And she's going to teach us all how to teleport. So I think that would be something to watch for, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Now think about it.
Yeah.
All of you, concentrate that Katerina is going to teach us how to teleport after lunch.
Yeah.
Okay, Jerome? You know what teleport means?
No.
You know what teleport means? Teleport means to go somewhere without your body. What?
With the body.
With the body? Oh, what's the other one? Out of body journey. Out of body journey. Yeah, so out of body journey. So if you're going to teleport, wouldn't it be great? You're sitting here talking to me, and you say, oh, I forgot my car. And so, you know, you teleport back to Switzerland, back to your house, pick up your car, and then you come back here and teleport back again. Wouldn't that be neat?
It's good.
It's good. Thank you. Whenever the voice is low, speak up anybody so that it's high.
Yeah.
Oh, Katerina, you're going to teach us that? Okay, thank you. She has agreed to do that. I think that's just wonderful. My goodness, we've got things going here that we never dreamed would come out of this seminar. Okay, so I sought out role models. And Sybil, who is your role model? We had Chrissy's already. Oh, I thought it was Sam. Your husband. Is he your role model?
He's my reflection.
He's your reflection. Wow. And that's true. He's your reflection. And obviously he's a good reflection. Right?
Yes.
That's true. Sybil was hearing some of my talks. And one of my talks I said that the true marriage is a marriage where the man and the woman are together and they're married. And then the man says, sweetheart, I'll see you. And she doesn't say where you're going. He just leaves and he comes back 2 years later. And she says, wow, did you have a good time? She didn't say, did you have a good time? I know you had a good time. And then a little later she says, well, Sam, I'll see you later. And he says, great. He doesn't ask her where she's going, how long she's going to be gone, if she's going to be a nice lady or not, and whatever. He just says, have a good time, you know. And then she comes back 6 years later, and he's there just doing his thing. Time is irrelevant, you know, and having a good time. And not once does he doubt her or she doubt him that they're going to be true to their relationship, you know. Now, that, to me, is marriage. That, to me, is true marriage. That's the kind of marriage that Gregor has, don't you?
Yeah.
You can take off, and your wife will say to you, have fun. And you come back 2 years later, she says, well, no. Yeah. So, you're the role model for yourself. And as a role model for yourself, you decide what that role is going to be. And we all make mistakes sometimes in deciding what the role is going to be. And we say the role is that I'm short, fat, tall, thin, or whatever. We say that we are sick. We say that we got problems. We say that we're poor. Those are bad role models. At least those are not beneficial role models as far as I'm concerned. Now, what would be the perfect role model for Seville? Anybody want to say? So you have seen that in her too, huh?
Yes.
How wonderful. How wonderful. And are you the perfect being?
Yes.
Yeah. And Ellen, what about you? Are you the role model for somebody?
For myself.
Not for Diego and Marielle, your daughter and son?
For myself.
But they need a role model.
They are their own role model.
No. I see in them what I am.
Okay, I see in them what I am.
And they are damn good.
And they are fabulous.
She didn't like to say damn. But and they're fabulous. Now, why are they fabulous? Are you fabulous?
Yes.
And what do you do that makes you fabulous?
I just am.
I have always been seeking myself. Have you found yourself?
Yes.
And what have you found when you found yourself?
People can imagine it's the other.
That's right. But now, are you a happy lady?
Yes.
Are you a fulfilled lady?
Yes.
Are you Esther lady?
I'm Ellen lady. Me lady.
Well, Esther is spiritually illumined.
That's my reflection.
Sorry, Esther. That's your reflection. And that's true. Now, how did you accomplish being a illumined person?
I came to this earth experience in this consciousness of being
now,
a human being.
Is that true? Is that possible?
Yes.
But I can't see how that could be possible. If she came like that, why did she wait so long to reveal it? You always did it? You see, from the beginning of all, we have had a name that we can't shake. And no matter what we do, we can't get rid of that name. No matter what we say, we can't get rid of that name. That name is hanging on to us like glue. And that name has three letters in it. What's that? G-O-D.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get rid of it. Now, you were God from the beginning.
Right.
So now, is God...
Beginning.
All right, beginning. Masameno. Okay, now, you have always been God.
Yes.
She liked that better. But you've always been God. Now, as God, are you everything? Are you the fulfillment of everything? And why are you the fulfillment of everything?
Because that's what God is.
Because that's what God is. Now, we have been denying ourselves all of our life these things, and that's what God is. We are the fulfillment of everything good. Gertrude, are you the fulfillment of everything good?
Yes.
And why have you been denying yourself the fulfillment of everything good by not having a Bentley and not having a mansion and not having castles in Spain and not having yachts that you go ply the ocean with and your own private Learjet or what do you call these bigger jets, 707, to toot you around. Why have you been denying yourself that?
I feel good. I have all, and I am.
Right. I feel good. I have it. And look, where's your garage that you keep your Learjet? At the airport when I wanted it, sir. Right?
Now,
isn't that true?
Yeah.
I mean, do you have, did you come over here on a kiddie car? You came over here on a jet, didn't you? Was that your jet?
Oh, yes.
Not, oh, yes, but yes. Yeah, yeah. Your own, did you know that you owned the jet? your Rosie went to the airport and she bought the airplane for you and for Sabrina and herself. That was your private plane. You let some other people come too because you had a lot of extra seats. But that was your private. You paid for that plane. You bought that plane. And that's pretty. Did they serve you things on the plane too? Yes. Now, you see, did she buy the plane? Did you buy the plane?
Yes.
Do you have your private 707 or whatever number it was? Yeah. Yeah. And did you let other people come along with you? Are you very magnanimous? Very outgoing and generous? Yeah. Well, think about it. Because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Now, the role model bit. It's so wonderful. But have you finally decided to be yourself and claim it? Now, you think this is a lot of nonsense and silliness and dumb stuff. It's not. I'm home perk. I live my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I like me. You know? Those aren't stupid. And it's no more stupid to say you have your private plane. Not that it's important, but think yourself into everything as it really is. Now, do we own this land here? Yes. Do we own these houses? Yes. Do we owe anything on the houses? Do we have the bank working with us? No. They're all free and clear. They're all beautiful. All our cars, everything that we have is free and clear. We don't owe anybody anything. Now, isn't that wonderful? Yes. I was flying with my son Mark, and I said we wanted to find another place to live. And so we flew over 200 acres over here, and I said, I like that land right there. And so we landed. We looked up the land on the chart, found out who owned it, and it was a dear friend of mine that I had loved and worshipped for years as a real estate trade broker. I never met him, but I read his books. Just terrific guy. So we went to see him, and we rented the land from him. We bought the land from him, but we were paying interest in the beginning. So it was like rent. But anyhow, we bought it. It was in our name, totally wonderfully in our name. 200 acres, you know, just like that. Just like that. And we didn't have the $200,000, that's all he wanted, $200,000 for 200 acres, you know. We didn't have the money for that at the time, but we had the 200 acres. And just before that, we had talked to another medical doctor in San Diego, and we said we were looking for a place. He said, well, rent my place. And so we got his 6,780 acres, 6,780, and many houses. Remember all those retreats behind the houses there? And the swimming pool and all the other stuff, huh? And the airport, right? Full airstrip, and it was wonderful. And we were there for quite a while until we got tired of maintaining such a large amount of property, painting it, cleaning it, washing the windows, putting up light bulbs. It took 200 light bulbs in the main house, you know, with light bulbs all around the outside. And just, it wasn't that we couldn't afford it; it's that we didn't want to bother it. And I had a beautiful wedding in a large living room, which is bigger than this house, the living room alone. And the fireplace was sunk, and so, you know, in the ground. And so I was all set to give this wonderful wedding. And then someone said, oh, the fireplace isn't lit. So I went over and turned on the gas jets and I looked for some matches, and finally found some matches, and then I struck a match and put it down there, and whoosh, up came all of the gas, and burning instantly, it's like in a flash, it didn't hurt a thing, it was just exciting. And I was standing right in the middle of it, and this flame all around me, and all the people at the wedding had a new opinion of me. Foolish, perhaps. But it was a great experience. It was not a dangerous experience. It was not a terrible experience. But it was just sort of a magician's experience, you might say. And that's kind of fun to do those things. But you want to always be careful that you're not messing up. Finally, I decide to just be myself. Now, how can you just be yourself? How can I just be myself? For me to just be myself demands only one thing, that I know who myself is. Who is myself? Who is the person that I am? Is that a loving, gentle, kind, and perfect person? It's a person who lives in the now. Now you say, well, Herb, you just told the story about your properties, and you told the story about the fire and the fireplace and so forth. Yes. And how many of you were thrilled by it? Not really. You heard it. You listened. You said, the movie last night was more exciting than that. And it's true. But the thing is, why do we retrogress? Why do we go back and tell stories on old things when we got so much new stuff to talk about? Why do we go back and tell stories about the fire pit? Stories about the past? Why do we do that? You see, this is where it takes so much to be up to date on who we are, up to date on to decide to just be myself. I go and visit Dorothea at her house, and Dorothea says, come on in. I come in. She says, sit down. I sit down. She says, can you help me with my computer? I help her with her computer, make it all work. And then she says, good, let me give you some lunch. And I said, okay, thank you. And so she gives me the lunch that she likes to have. And Dorothea is a very modest eating woman. She, for her, a spoonful of sugar goes a long way. For me, it just covers the top of the cereal. You know. But when I am with Dorothea, and she does those things, I say, Dorothea, I want to take you out to dinner. Take you out to lunch or something like that. And she says, oh, we got plenty of food here. And so then she gives me another piece of popcorn or something else. And, oh. But now, you see, I'm touching her now. Actually, she gave me two pieces, and I shouldn't forget that. But, you see, you have to be yourself. You have to be yourself. And so if I call Dorothea and she says, I don't want to go to lunch, what do I do? I go to lunch before I get there. Right? Right. No problem. I'm not against her going or not going. And I say, Dorothea, you want to come along and have a cup of coffee with me or whatever you want to drink? And she says, oh, no, I've got everything right here. I say, well, enjoy. And then I have it out. Be yourself at all times, under all circumstances, no matter what the thing is that you're doing, be yourself. Now, it's so easy for a lot of us to forget to be ourselves. And when we forget to be ourselves, then we start emulating someone else. And when we do that, we are not really worthwhile at all. Now, Ingrid, if you started to emulate your grandchildren, what would they think of you? If you started to be just like your grandchildren, what would they think about you? If you were starting to be just like your grandchildren, what would they think about you?
That I'm a reflection of them.
Well, this is what we know, but what would they think of you? What would they think of you if you started doing things the way they did? Or perhaps a better question, how do they do things? How old are your grandchildren? 35 and 40?
No.
17. What?
17 is the eldest.
Yeah, and?
The last is 1.
1 through 17.
Yes.
Okay, you got the gambit to play with here. Now, when you're playing with a one-year-old, and you are the one-year-old, what do you think of yourself? Goo goo gaga.
Happy.
What?
Happy.
Happy. Oh, that's good. And what do you think of yourself when you're with maybe the 8-year-old?
Happy too.
I think this is what you're going to tell me on everything now. When you are with the 8-year-old and he says, Grandma, come here. And he takes his hammer and he starts pounding nails into everything. You say, well, son, let me try that too.
No.
No? What do you say?
Be good.
Well, maybe he is being good. He's pounding it in very well. Yeah. Now, the thing that you do is you say to your grandson, you say, son, what is a hammer for? How is a hammer made? Why has it got this strange shape that it has? And tell him the story of the Elfkins and the Munchkins of how they created the first hammer. And the first hammer was meant to be able to, for the Elfkins, to hit with a double strike. They hit the nail here and hit the nail here. And they just go up and down, and the hammer going two sides, hitting the nail on each side of the hammer. Now you say, I didn't have that idea. Well, I did. So tell them that, you know, and tell them other things. And you know, pretty soon, they will do anything you ask them to do right when you ask them to do it. And that's the best way. That's what they do, don't they? They do that, don't they? Yes. we want to be very positive on these things because you are the master. And you have said to me that part of your life stream is to work with your grandchildren.
Yes.
And that's lovely. Now, are they worth it?
Yes.
What are they doing to show you that they're worth it?
Mm-hmm. Seeing themselves and loving.
What are they doing to show you that they're worth it? You, yeah, you. What are they doing to show you that they're worth your attention? Are you creating them as, or are you, yeah, creating is okay. Are you creating them in your world as being fabulous children, glorious children, honorable children?
Well, I am creating my world.
Yes.
And my world is who they are because they are a part of my world.
Well, if that's what you're creating them as, that's good. How do you do that?
By being myself and having fun.
You create them by being yourself and having fun?
Yeah, but I am happy.
What? Esther had a comment there?
No, that's what she said.
All right, you're creating them by being yourself and having fun. And now, is there anything to improve in them? You look
good.
You look though for a minute. I don't think so.
Why I do that? But, okay. I'm afraid.
You're perfect, right?
Yes, right now.
Yes, right now. Yes. And how do you see your grandchildren?
Perfect.
Wonderful. How do you see?
Magnificent.
How do you see everybody in your world?
Magnificent.
And how are they?
Magnificent.
And why are they that way?
Because I am
not the and that's true. Okay, now, you're creating your own world, and you're creating everybody in it, and you're creating them as a reflection of yourself, and you're creating them good and very good. Okay, now, why do you have some rascals in your world?
I do not.
I do not. Why do you not have rascals in your world?
Because I am perfect.
No. You said I do not. You already acknowledged that there are rascals in the world.
No, I did not.
If you say you do not create them?
No, I don't have rascals in my world.
But you see, the thing is, if you acknowledge it in any way, you're creating it. Now, what I would recommend you want to say is, my world is filled with glorious beings. You don't even mention the word rascal. Now, that rascal is like the problem. And you say, I've got cancer, can you help me? You know, and then right away you think, gee, you got cancer, what kind of cancer you got? You got this or that variety, you know? And so if I say, why do you create rascals in your world? I do not create rascals in my world. Well, you do then. What you say is, I create loving centers in my world.
Okay, not to answer to it, but to maintain what is positive.
Great, 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 great. Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay, always?
Always.
Even when somebody comes along and messes you up?
No one comes along. Yeah.
I did.
There I go again. In my world,
and my world is glorious, right?
Glorious, magnificent.
Super. But this is what the world does to us. It tests us with these little statements that they're subtle and you just don't expect them. And then all of a sudden you say, ah, what did I say? I don't mean that, you know. And then when you try to change it, you really sound terrible. Because when you try to change it, then you're like saying, no, I'm not pregnant or something like that, you know. So, what did Jesus say when they said that he wanted to be the king of the Jews? He said, so they say. But he would have been wise not even to say that. He would have been wise just to say, I am. And then they would have put him away even faster. But all Jesus would have to say is, not so they say, because that's acknowledging that's being said. There is no king of the Jews. And there wasn't. Who was the king of the Jews in his time? Some guy with the name of H. Herod. Yeah. Okay, now, why did Jesus want to be king of the Jews? He didn't. Well, why did they get the idea that he did? Have a reason to put him aside. What?
To have a reason to put him aside.
Come. And you, Ingeborg, how are you expressing your divinity? How are you expressing your magnificence? And just, what do we say, you're finally deciding to be yourself. How did you decide to finally be yourself?
Keeping smiling.
Keeping silent?
Smiling.
Keeping smiling? Beautiful. How do you keep smiling? And if you really are happy and you're smiling because you're happy, then it shows. If you're smiling as an academic thing, that shows too. And so you want to be careful, you know. Thank you. That's a nice of you. Appreciate your thoughtfulness, you know. Spreading your lips around, trying to make a smile. But you want to be real careful. Because we can fall into a trap very quickly. And when we fall into a trap very quickly, we are in trouble. And I'm still having fun with Dorothea, because Dorothea just loves to fight. She just loves to take the contrary view of anything that we're taking. And that's okay. But that's okay. And now, what should Dorothea do? Anybody?
She is herself and has fun.
She? Well, we're not that far along. She is being herself and having fun. She is living whatever she believes is right for her. Now, when would she ever change?
She is herself and has fun.
She changes when she is herself and has fun.
Does that mean she changes? She is herself and has fun and has fun.
Yeah. Oh, boy, thank you.
Well, thank you. That's what you are.
Now, do you like that? Sure. And what are you going to do about that?
Live it.
Okay. Now, If you live it, how do you live being yourself and having fun and being the kind of person that is an independent thinker? You are an independent thinker, aren't you?
Yeah, oh, I think so.
Yeah. I think so, yes. Yeah?
She is.
She is?
I think so, that is.
Oh, I see. That was your answer. I think so. Oh, I would say I know. Yeah, but that's okay. Now, each one of you is going to be listening to the HoloSync program, and I'm recommending that you do it from 1:15 to 2:15. And the reason that I'm recommending that you do it from 1:15 to 2:15 is because that is a nice open time. It gives you time before to do what you want to do and after to do what you want to do. And as you listen to it, I recommend that you sit in a normal posture, on the floor, on a chair, however you like. Just offer yourself the idea that you're going to stay awake, because you will fall asleep. What?
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, I beg your pardon. What? Gregor? You will fall asleep. Gregor? What? We're all wide awake. And that's what you want to say. And I will enjoy it while I'm wide awake.
I'm awake, alert, and enthusiastic.
Right. I'm alert, awake, and enthusiastic about life. I don't know. I don't think we get shocked with your battery after the one. They do have CD. They do have CD players that can play underwater, which is nice. But no, do whatever you want. Be in a relaxed position, but alert. If they wish.
It doesn't matter if people sit together in one room.
No. You can go to your bedroom, you can go to your house, wherever you live, and do whatever you want. That'd be kind of interesting. Whatever turns you on. So, think on these things and think what you want to do, and then go forth and do it. Because that's going to be a wonderful thing. I think you're going to have a lot of fun on that. I know you're going to have a lot of fun on that. And I know that it's going to open up some new avenues for your thinking. Now, at this moment, we are preparing ourselves for lunch. So, from 11:30 to 12:15, lunch is being prepared. And at 12:15, we all gather at the board and enjoy it. So, have a lovely morning. Excuse me? Gather at the board. The feeding board. Yeah. So, have a lovely morning and enjoy yourself. And I love you, I love you, I love you.